This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome to your local Kiri Kiri Roa podcast, What Is Your Why? Whenever you are listening to this, I hope you are having an absolutely beautiful day today. This podcast is run by the YWCA Hamilton, an organisation dedicated to empowering, inspiring and elevating women to achieve success in whatever ways that looks like to her.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast. Today with me in the studio, I have Ruth, and as always, I'll pass it straight over to you to introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, Julia. Thank you for having me. My name is Ruth. Hi, everyone. I live here in the Waikato with my two babies, 5 and 8, just turned 8, and my wonderful husband, who I married 13 years ago. He is the most intelligent and altruistic and wonderful person I know. We have lived here, well, I have lived here most of my life, but I did live overseas for a couple of stints, and I studied in Wellington, which was amazing, but I've come back. My family are here. My best friends are all here. They just live down the road. We have a wonderful life here. For work, I'm a photographer, which is how I know Julia. So I photographed Julia's wedding, like, how many weeks ago?
I think it's seven.
7 weeks ago. So I photographed weddings, photographed my first wedding. I want to say it was about 16, 17 years ago. So I was really young, and I swore that I would never do it again. And here I am, just photographed about, I don't know, 25 weddings maybe this season. And I just photograph people, families, businesses. I love my job and wouldn't have that any other way. What else can I say about myself? I teach photography as well to other photographers. I do mentoring sessions. I have an online course with a friend, and I also just teach anyone that would like to take better photos with their smartphone. So I'm often doing photography smartphone courses. I did a bunch of them over COVID online, which was really fun. I've done them to like the Chiefs. I've done them to restaurants like Madame Wu. I've done one to TVNZ. So that's a fun little like side kind of hustle of my business that I really enjoy, because I was a teacher.
Yeah.
So I was a high school teacher back before I had my business.
That's so cool that you can like integrate those two things, like what you used to do and what you do now.
Yeah, totally. Like I quite enjoy not having to teach 30, 16-year-olds anymore, but I did love teaching, but yeah.
I have some quick fire questions for you.
So sure.
Quick fire question number one is, what is your favorite book?
Oh, so I read a lot of books. I actually read a lot of audiobooks. And I just read this amazing book called 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman, I think. So the idea is that we have around about on average 4,000 weeks in our life that we live.
Wow.
And he kind of looks at like how we see our time on earth and how we spend it and our philosophies towards it and how philosophies towards time have changed over history and over like within the changes of our culture. And he looks at different philosophies and all sorts. And honestly, I feel like it's the one book that's just changed the way that I do life.
Wow.
Like, it was really impactful. Kind of like very confronting, obviously, but I feel like it's given me a healthier perspective to the way that I see time, the way I use time, the way that I think about time, and just like giving that up, that idea that we can actually do everything we want to do, because we can't.
Yeah.
We just don't have enough weeks, and it's like, how do you use the weeks that you've got to the best of your advantage, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I recommend it to anyone interested.
And so you listen to it on audio?
I think I did listen to it on Audible, and then I actually bought the paper copy because I wanted to underline things, and then I read it again. So,
You definitely liked it. If you read it twice, it's like...
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to buy the paper copy of something, but I do like to have it, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Quick fire question number two is, what does your ideal Saturday look like?
Oh, so I feel like a lot of my time is like up and out the door, so an ideal Saturday would be like a little bit slower than normal.
Yeah.
Maybe a wee bit of a sleep in, so asleep, and I've got two kids. They're usually waking by 6:37, so maybe like an 8:30 type of sleep in.
Yeah.
Some sort of exercise, like get the endorphins going. I love going to the gym, but I feel like maybe my ideal exercise would be like a hike outside or something like that in nature on a really nice, beautiful day. And then maybe something with the family. We have like family pizza night, hanging out with the kids and things like that. And then probably seeing my friends and having some quality time with them. And snacks, always snacks.
Oh, yeah, of course. Can't go without it.
Snacks, wine, or maybe a gin. I love water, so anything like either a spa, I love a hot spa at the moment, or in summer, like heading to the beach, something like that. That's a lot of things to do in a day, but I feel like that's manageable.
Honestly, if it's an ideal day, you can do like unlimited hours, I reckon. Yeah. I think ideal is confined by the laws of the world.
I feel like ultimately, like sitting in a spa with a glass of wine, watching the sunset, like that would be my ideal finish to the day,
yes.
Which I do every now and again, but not enough.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that sounds so good. Especially on these cold days. I'm like, oh, I just want that warm.
I know. I've been trying to convince my husband to buy a spa for a very long time. Unfortunately, our section doesn't quite lend itself to that. But. No.
That's fun. Quick fire question number 3 is, what is one product you could not live without?
Oh, so nothing really came to mind here except for my phone, which I know is super cliche, but when we moved overseas back in 2020, I had this incident where my phone glitched and stopped working. And I had just put my son into childcare, so it was like his first day, and I couldn't even figure out how to pick him up. So like, your phone is your lifeline now, like these days. Like I couldn't even live without Google Maps or like all of the things, not even social media or anything like that, but just day-to-day kind of things. And I remember trying to figure out what I wanted to do because I needed a new phone, and a friend was like, your phone's your lifeline, like get a good phone.
Especially with kids, you like, that's like how you get them. Like if a school has a problem, they call you, and that's
I feel very anxious when I lose my phone, which happens every now and again. I feel very anxious about the kids.
I very much feel that I can't live without my phone.
Yeah.
Awesome. So those are the quick fire questions. Thank you for sharing in those answers. Moving on to today's topic, which is, as always, is what are you passionate about? What is your why in life?
Oh, such a big question to break down into one like short sentence. What is my why and what I'm passionate about? I feel like I'm really like drawn to creating deep connections with others in a context of like creativity, which is probably why I'm a photographer, right? So my camera enables me to go into, it's like an invitation into other people's worlds, right? Like being able to see and experience and be a part of all these different situations, see all of these different things, be a part of people's like special moments that I wouldn't otherwise get to see and experience. And like, I love that because I feel like it has been a really shaping part of my worldview, like in the way that I see the world, because I've been exposed to all these different types of people I wouldn't otherwise ever have met.
Yeah.
Or like types of people that are different to me, right? Which I think is really healthy. But I feel like it's easy to be in a bubble, and I feel like I would be in a little bit of a bubble with people like myself if it wasn't for my photography. So I get to like be a part of all that while creating something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you get to be in so many different moments as well. Like I follow you on Instagram, and so it's like there's child bringing the first child home after being born at the hospital.
Yeah.
And then there's like the commercial stuff where it's like the lawyers and the all these different brands. And so yeah, you see so many different like moments in life, but then also so many different types of moments, like the
Like seeing someone give birth, you know, like that's just mind-boggling. Like it changes the way you think about the whole world, you know. Yeah, about the world and about life. I photographed people in their last moments, like literally on their deathbed. I had a person from hospice contact me yesterday, and they want me to come and like take photos of families when their loved one is like about to pass away, and it's like this insight into these crazy, crazy things, which is really cool, and being able to give people that gift of like having those memories, I suppose.
Yeah. Wow. Whoa, that's scary.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like stuck on that. I'm like, I could not imagine that moment, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know. I definitely don't think it's like for everybody to do something like that. There's another organization called Heartfelt, and they go in and they photograph stillborn babies in hospitals with their families. And so that's another thing that I'm really interested in doing and might do at some stage.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, like I say, we just get this invitation into other people's worlds, and it's really interesting.
Yeah. Going right back to the start of your photography season. So you said it was like 15 years ago or 16? Like
yeah.
Quite a while. How did you get into that?
So the first wedding I ever photographed was my best friend's.
Oh, wow. All the pressure.
Well, yes and no. I don't think I understood the pressure at the time. Okay, like, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I hadn't even been to a wedding.
Wow.
And so she got married quite young. Like, I think she was 21 and I was 20. And so I've just given my age away. She was doing her wedding on a really tight budget, like $4,000 for the whole thing, something like that. I know. So. But I mean, they were young, right? Like, they hadn't even started working yet. So, yeah. Or maybe just for a year. So, I actually did the makeup as well. But, yeah, so I did the bridesmaids' makeup, and I took photos throughout the day, and I was using my boyfriend's camera, my boyfriend at the time, his camera, and I dropped one of his lenses and broke one. So I only had the zoom lens, which is like the stalker lens. So it's the lens that gets up really close.
Oh, funny.
So I was not only like managing the situation where I didn't really know what to expect next, but then I also was like having to run back to get, because I couldn't get close up because I was on this like zoom lens that was seeing really close up.
Yeah.
It was wild. It was so wild.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But I'm like one of those people that just do things and I don't overthink them. So.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Okay. So that was like your first like intro. It was just like helping out a friend.
Yeah.
And then you said you're never going to do weddings again, but then you came back.
Well, I found it really stressful because you know, there's all these moments that happen so quickly, and I wasn't even super familiar with the camera itself because I'd only just started studying to be a photographer. But yeah, as soon as someone knows you know how to use a camera, they tend to ask you to take photos of them. So I did sort of continue even to pay my way through uni by photographing weddings, but I was very cheap at the time because I knew my experience level wasn't great. But the people that hired me, I think they knew that as well.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
So you also studied to be a photographer.
Yeah, so I actually went to study to be a graphic designer.
Oh, cool.
But the first year of that course, it's Bachelor of Visual Communications at Massey, for anyone that's interested in Wellington. The first year is like you do all the disciplines. So you do a little bit of everything, fashion, like interior, industrial, photography and graphic design. And so I just love the photography paper so much that I changed what my major was going to be.
Honestly, so many people do that, because even I did the basic business degree and then I changed my major halfway through because I was like, this was so much more fun doing these papers. So it's so cool when degrees are built like that and you can just like kind of change.
I definitely had my anxieties about studying photography because I wasn't sure like about my career path and what that would be later on. But I decided to worry about that later on.
Did you get a lot of criticism from like your family that you were choosing that?
No, not at all. My family have always been super supportive. They've always trusted me and trusting the process. What I did do though is I studied for a fifth year and I got a postgrad in teaching, so I knew that I always had a teaching career to fall back on if my photography business didn't work.
That's cool. That's always good to have options.
And I did teach, so I taught for like the first 5 years, and that was how I built up my kit, because you need like $40,000 worth of gear. You know, so my husband and I used to shoot weddings during our school holidays and things like that together.
Oh, that's so sweet. So he's also a photographer?
No, he's just a smart person that knows how to do things. Mm. Like, so he's a scientist, so the camera really clicked with him because the camera's invented by a scientist, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's so handy. That's so
lovely. It was
cool.
It was nice. And every now and again, we still photograph weddings together, and it's like, we feel like we're on a date because we get to eat dinner together with our kids around.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, goodness. The life with kids be like.
Yes.
Oh, fun. So what made you choose teaching as, like, your backup option?
I come from a family of teachers, and I did think that teaching would suit me in my strengths. I like helping people, and I like having a bit of a project to be a part of. And I knew that I would love, like, sharing my passion with other kids. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you say 16-year-olds, so that's, like, intermediate aged, or is...
No, that's high school.
High school.
Yeah, yeah. So they can't choose photography till they're in the last years of... Oh, high school. Yeah. Yeah. Mm,
of course. Yeah. 16 is like 11 almost.
So my first year teaching, I ran a photography department at a high decile private school.
Wow.
It was very, it was definitely, what do you call it? Baptism by fire. It was a lot. Yeah.
I can imagine. Wow. But they would have had beautiful equipment, surely.
They did. Oh, yeah. That would be nice. Yeah, it was nice. They had a really well equipped department, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What would you say to yourself when you were, like, in like your first year of university? Like, what would be some advice that you would pass down to her?
Oh, so many things. Oh my goodness, I could talk about this for like hours. But I think the first thing is, like, when you're in university, your brain is not even fully formed yet. Right? Like, so your prefrontal cortex is still being developed, especially if you're a second born boy. But, like, I feel like I didn't get my adult brain till I was maybe in my early 20s or mid 20s. So I think the first thing that I would say is, like, chill out. You don't have to know everything yet. You don't have to know your career path yet. You don't have to know what the next 5, 10, 15 years look like. Don't make any major decisions yet if you're not ready to. And I think, like, to stop worrying, you've got everything inside you that you need. And if you don't, you can learn it, you know? Like, I feel like that kind of unknown, I think, was, like, produced a lot of anxiety in me when I was younger. Like, not knowing what my career would look like, not knowing if I would get a job when I came out of uni, all of those things. I think I would just, like, tell myself to stop taking myself so seriously. Mm. Yeah, amongst other things, like, honestly, yeah. I think the other thing would be, like, take time to learn about money and set yourself up financially.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we didn't really truly learn those things till we were in our mid-20s or even late-20s.
Mm.
And so we lost, like, a huge period of time where we could have done better with our money. We could have, like, done investments. You know, there's all these things that we wish we had done or learned about. And so I think that's another thing in terms of being able to kind of be financially free and set yourself up a little bit sooner.
Absolutely. And, like, using KiwiSaver to your advantage and getting it, like, early so that you can have the 5 years before you want to buy a house and all that stuff. I totally agree.
Yeah, like, I still, like, I did say don't take yourself seriously. I think that's my personality, is to do that. But I think it's just, like, you don't need to do everything all at once, you know, like, have a bit of a plan and work towards it. But yeah, you don't need to kind of know it all. And I think the other thing is, like, don't assume that things now how they're always going to be. Like, things will change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think 20s is, like, the time where things change so frequently that you don't even know, like, yourself compared to, like, 2 months ago. Like, it's always changing. You're always going through new situations, new people coming through your life. And
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think I put so much pressure on myself to have, like, this deep purpose.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like that kind of manifests as you just, like, stay really intuitive to yourself and what you love and, you know, like, just being aware of what makes you tick and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always really interesting when people ask people what their why is, and it's, like, changed throughout the last years. And it's always really interesting to see where they were and where they are now. It's always so different. And it's so fun because you can kind of see how it grew and developed all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally agree with that. Yeah, like when I had kids, my why shifted a little bit more again, because it was like this life-changing experience. And so I had all this new kind of way of seeing the world that shifted my why again. Like I remember saying to Dave on the way back from the birth center, I feel like I see the kids that I was teaching in such a different way now. Like I see like a little human in such a different way. Like I look at humanity in such a different way. Yeah.
Oh, that's very exciting. Yeah, so sweet. Has there been an inspirational woman in your life that you've really like looked up to, or that's like inspired your journey in any way?
Oh, so I was going to talk about my husband here.
Okay,
we can. Am I allowed to do that?
Go for it.
Does it have to be a woman? Like, no. Yes, absolutely. There is woman in my life. So I could talk about one of my best friends here, but also my husband, I would say.
Let's start with the husband.
Okay. So, like, my husband is one of those people that, like, has this love for learning, which I really respect. Like, he's almost obsessed with it, but he lets what he learns change him. So, like, he's got a lot of integrity and he can't live with cognitive dissonance. So if he learns something, it shifts and changes the way that he lives in, like, major ways, and in ways that he has to sacrifice things. Like, he just stopped eating meat because he learned something that made him believe that that wasn't the right thing for him to do. But he has no other moral judgment on anybody else. But he just lives in this way that he's, like, willing to give up his own creature comforts for, like, what he believes, and lives a life that's, like, causing the least harm. And he definitely challenges me to live in a way that's like, I would say, like, that aligns with that book that I was talking about at the beginning. Like, he's always challenging me on, like, why I want to buy things.
Yeah.
And he's just the most contented person I know with what he has, and like what he can live with, he can live with very little to be very happy. And I think that's like an amazing person to be living day to day next to.
Absolutely.
Because I think maybe for me, like, my intuition might be to want more than what I need, or to be a little bit consumeristic, and he really challenges me to not live like that, which I love.
Yeah.
And it's good because it means that you can stay happy, like, without having everything.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not realistic to have everything anyway, is it?
No. Yeah.
Oh, well, not for 99% of us.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
And then, like, I have a good friend that's very similar, like, actually her and my husband are very good friends as well, like the same type of thing, where, yeah, she just lives in a way that changes her according to what she learns. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Were they friends before you guys, are you and your husband together, or they met through you?
Well, so I married her husband's best friend. So
So
that's how I met Dave, through her. So she was dating her husband at the time, was Dave's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Oh,
yeah.
This wasn't the friend that you did a wedding for?
No, no. Not the same friend, but another very lifelong friend of mine.
Oh, so yeah. Fun. That's cool. I love that little, like, in connection.
I know. We're so lucky because it's really, like, great with when we hang out, you know, we've all been friends for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I just, I love that you speak with so much love about your people in your life. I think that's it's so rare nowadays that we have, like, such close friends and such close, like, love, and that we're not, like, ashamed to show that, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's too, like, cringe to show how much I love someone, or it's too, like, bragging if I show people how much I love my husband or my best friend. So I think it's really cool to be able to, like, just say that and, like, share with such passion about that.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky. I've got a friend that I've had since I was a baby, and and then most of my friends I've had since I was about 14, most of my best friends. So it's really nice to have that, like, lifelong friendship where you just kind of understand each other.
Wow, absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah.
My oldest friend is probably like 5 years ago that I met her. So okay. It's like different, very different vibes.
Yeah.
That's incredible though, because you moved away and then you came back and you were still friends with those people, right?
Yeah. So I studied in Wellington for 4 years, but still kept in touch. Mm. And then we've lived overseas in the States a few times.
Yeah.
But it's easy to keep in touch with people. I'm good at that.
Love it. What would you say is your motto in life? Like, what is something that you like to clear over your life every day?
So I think there's a couple of things, but I think a big one would just be no regrets. So, like, even in some of the small things that I do, I find myself thinking, like, asking myself, am I going to have no regrets? Which obviously, you don't always really know that, you know, like you don't know. But it's things like when I'm around my kids, it's little things. So when I'm around my kids, it's putting my phone down and paying attention to them. It's mindfulness. It's like living a way that I want to look back on and be like, I was happy with that life that I had. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look back and think I didn't engage with my kids because I was too busy with work, or, you know, like it's living by my values. I guess that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I've talked that out. I think about things through talking. So it's like being aware of my values and living those out in a way that's, I'm not going to have any regrets, right?
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And like a lot of the time for me, that's just keeping things simple because I tend to overthink things a little bit. So it's just like, that's been another one of my mottos, is keep it simple, especially when I'm thinking about work things and my brain can get a bit overwhelmed. And then the other motto recently has been, she said she could, so she did. That's on my phone at the moment.
I love that.
I know. I love that too. It's like, oh, it's so much of the time we like say we should do things and we're living in this space of feeling guilty about not doing them. So I think we need to figure out like which of the things are important and just do them. And then the things that aren't, stop saying you should do them. Just don't do them. Like, just put them to the side and forget about them, you know?
Yeah, like, it's okay to say, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, pretend that you're going to when you're not going to.
Yeah, so I feel like the word should is becoming, like, I'm leaving that out of my vocabulary. Like, I should do this or I should do that. No, that's not part of my vocabulary. I'm either going to say I'm going to do them, or I'm not going to do them.
Mm.
And it's intentional. So it's like living life intentionally, right? Yeah.
And that's really hard.
I know. Like,
I'm like,
I know.
Going through all the scenarios where I say should, or like I shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, oh, but
I know. But just catch yourself when you say that, right? And think, well, is this important enough for me to actually change? Or should I just stop saying that I want to do it? Because maybe it's not that important.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is. Like, you know.
Challenging. Whoa. That's really fun though, and like it's cool that it's on your phone because it means you see it every day.
Yeah, it's on my like lock screen, so it's like handwritten out because I feel like that's more powerful for us to see our own handwriting.
Yeah,
it does something to your brain, I think.
Absolutely, even the process of writing it down does something.
Yeah, and I want to, like, I'm going to put it up in my office too.
Very cool, yeah. And that's like a conversation starter too. And like when things are in your conversations, it's so much more powerful as well.
Yeah, and I think if you're like having those words and you're saying them frequently, I think it's really empowering just for those sort of subconscious thoughts and things like that we're not really aware of so much, but they're in the background.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to me today. It's been great getting to chat.
I've loved being here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to connect with us, please feel free to check us out on Insta, YWCA Hamilton NZ, or on Facebook, YWCA of Hamilton. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. Until next time, take care of yourself and always remember your why.
Thanks for listening to this Free FM podcast. If you want to hear more content like this, you can support Free FM via Patreon. Head to patreon.com/freefm89 to find out more.